Welcome back to the Press Box and another episode in our countdown to Kentucky Derby 151. My host, as always, the Hall of Famer, Dave Buzzy Baker.
Gino, great talking to you again, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it because I've enjoyed this whole series, and what we're talking about is McLean's countdown to Derby 151. It is brought to you by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Brisnet.com, by Oak Grove Racing and Gaming, by the Fairgrounds, by Indiana Grand Racing and Casino, by the Exacta Systems, by the KTA and the KTOB, and by the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. So let's see, did we get through number 16 yesterday, is that right, or 15?
I'm looking at our numbers. We're up to 14. We did 14 yesterday. We're up to 14, Publisher, and number 13, East Avenue.
Okay, so tell me about Publisher.
I am calling up. This is an interesting story, Buzz, for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
Publisher,
yes,
is still a maiden. So,
wow,
you know,
that's
it's
right.
Quite interesting to talk about Publisher because only three maidens have ever won the Derby. And I am getting right over here to my notes as we fumble through
There's no need to fumble. You know, when you got 21 horses and all these works and this historical information, I mean, you're just getting it. It's never in the form you'd like it in, but it is some sort of ordered chaos is what I would call it.
They're all stacked right here. And Publisher is a son of American Pharaoh, out of the proud citizen mare, Indian Pride, bred in part by former Governor Brereton C. Jones. But Publisher has run seven times for the current ownership group, has 2 seconds and 3/3, but
yes,
has enough points to qualify for this year's Derby for trainer Steve Asmussen. When I say this is an interesting story, this horse has won a race, Publisher, nor has his trainer, Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, has never won a Derby. He's won 26 times. He's won, I think, 1,100 races, and most of them, or a lot of them, at Churchill Downs, and has never won a Kentucky Derby. He has 0.3 2/3. You know, finished second with a couple of real good ones, including the great Gunrunner, but has never won a Derby. This horse has never won a race. And like I said, only three horses have ever won the Derby coming into it as a maiden. There was Buchanan in 1884, ridden by legendary African-American jockey Isaac Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
There was Sir Barton, who later was named a Triple Crown winner in 1919. And, of course, there was Broker Tip in 1933.
Yeah.
And Broker Tip was famous because of the duel in the stretch between jockey Don Meade and Herb Fisher, who was riding Head Play. They got into what if you've seen the great photograph of the head-on of the stretch drive, the jockeys are hitting each other with their crops, grabbing each other's reins, trying to throw the other one off. Don Meade and Herb Fisher in what they call the fighting finale, or the finale, fighting finish to the 1933 Kentucky Derby.
All right, now let me stop you right there before you get any more sentimental on me. Weren't you concerned, and I would say you were leaning toward dismissing one of the horses we talked about yesterday because one of those colts was also a maiden, right?
No, that one the other day had never run on anything but turf.
Oh, that's right. But it took that horse
weather
like six times to break its maiden, right?
Right. Flying Mohawk has never never run on the traditional dirt. So, you know, for me, horses that have never done something, it's awfully tough to ask them to do it for the first time in the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, I know they're going to be carrying more weight than they ever had. They're going to be going longer than they ever have. But, you know, it's like when somebody says, well, this is a really good New York bred or a really good Pennsylvania bred. There's only been one New York bred ever win the Derby. And you know, even as good as Tis the Law was, I tossed him out because numbers don't lie. History doesn't lie. And there's a reason that history is what it is. And when you look at the history on Publisher, it, no matter how, you know, what you look at. I mean, he ran a great second in the Arkansas Derby. He came running from back in the pack and got beat 2.5 lengths by Sandman, who is a beautiful gray colt that looks, and everybody looks the part. And he beat Cold Battle and Cornucopian, the big prohibitive favorite of Bob Baffert's, who went out there and set all kinds of solid fractions in that race with Speed King. But, you know, it's, for me, Buzzman, you know, publisher, I had it. We touted him in the Arkansas Derby to yep. hit the exacta with Sandman. We hit that. You know, we did pretty good on our touts for the upcoming and the prep races. I just don't. He's a toss for me in the Kentucky Derby simply because okay. he's a maiden, and the history just shows that maidens don't fare well in a 20 horse field of horses that have completed the circuit and done so much more in their limited time going into the mile and a quarter Grade One Kentucky Derby. I just can't go there because of all history regarding the publisher.
Yep, I get that. Okay, so then let's move on then to 13.
And that's going to be East Avenue. East Avenue is a horse that we have watched carefully since his victory as a two-year-old a year ago in the Breeders' Futurity, the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last October. And he won his first two races for trainer Brendan Walsh and for the owner Godolphin Stables. And then he went out to Del Mar for the Grade One FanDuel Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And all of that hype, all of that energy, all of that looking forward to maybe crowning a champion two-year-old went by the wayside in the first second of that race when he stumbled terribly coming out of the gate and nearly unseated the rider, Tyler Gaffleon. And he ran on only to beat one horse in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last fall at Del Mar, Buzzman. And, you know, that just this seemed to be a powerful punch to the gut to end what was a very promising two-year-old campaign. You know, it came back. Trainer Brendan Walsh had the horse ready to go in February. He ran in the Risen Star down at the fairgrounds, and there was a lot of hype for him in that race. He was made the prohibitive odds-on favorite for the Risen Star.
Yes,
all the handicappers just completely tossed out that race in the Breeders' Cup. But for some reason, the horse just simply didn't run. And, you know, the track that day was fast. There was hardly any excuse on paper or in watching the race for him that particular day. But he dead-heated for 10th in a 12-horse field. And a lot of head-scratching went on. And, I mean, that first race back, maybe, you know, whatever it was, Magnitude went on to win by 10 lengths that day.
Right.
And, you know, Buzzy, he just – there was simply – even Brendan Walsh has been asked a zillion times, well, what happened? And, you know, I think he doesn't even know what happened that day. And they gave the horse nearly 2 months off after the Risen Star. They brought him back in the Grade One Toyota Bluegrass at Keeneland, where he obviously had his biggest win. And he ran spectacularly on the front end. He was caught deep in the stretch by Burnham Square and was nosed there at the wire by Burnham Square. So East Avenue, now what do you do? Do you look at the Risen Star and say and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and say that's more his style, or do you look at the Toyota Bluegrass and the Breeders' Futurity, both over the same track there at Keeneland, and say that's the real horse? You know, hard to figure this one in that regard. He's well-bred. He's by Medaglia di Oro. He's out of the Ghost Sapper mare dance music, and you know how much I love Ghost Sapper as a sire, but also as
yep.
a breed. A broodmare sire. Dance Music didn't race, but Dance Card, the second dam by
yep.
Tappet, was a graded stakes winner and, you know, a tremendous runner in her day and time. She won the Grade One Gazelle. She ran third in the Gallant Bloom. She ran third in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint Dance Card, an outstanding dam, a runner, the second dam. So all that being said, Buzz, we're left with a big question mark, I think,
yes,
out by side East Avenue. And what do we do with him? You know, here's another one that I'm going to toss, Buzz, and he may break my heart. He's a beautiful, beautiful colt. He's going to catch a lot of eyes. He's going to catch a lot of dollars. I just have a hard time thinking that he can come out of just one real race and be ready to go a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby. Really, the race hit the fairgrounds. You can't even call a race. So one real prep race for in 25 for East Avenue. He likes to be on the lead or close to it. You know, he blistered there on the lead at Keeneland. He went the first quarter in 22 and change. Awfully tough going a mile and an eighth, but he nearly held on and won that one. But he prefers to be out on the lead or close to it. There's going to be a predominance of speed. We've talked this throughout our capsule reports on each of the horses.
Yes.
So both of today's horses for me are horses I am not going to use. And I say that and knowing that I would love to own either one of these. And it's not a criticism of the horses or their trainers or their owners. It's just handicapping-wise, these are two horses that I'm just not going to be able to put in my, you know, exactas and in my pick five,
exotics.
Pick sixes, exotic,
yes,
wagers. They're just not horses that at this point in time, that I'm – you have to eliminate some out of the 20, right?
That's right, right.
And if you go back, and I'm doing this now in capsules – of the 21 we've covered, starting with Built, I am going to use number 19, Luxor Cafe. You know, we talked about him. He's the horse that got into the field through the road to the Kentucky Derby in Japan. I am going to use Luxor Cafe. I love his running style. I am going to use Grande from the Ripoli stable and trainer Todd Pletcher. And I am going to use American Promise. But we got a lot of horses yet to cover, Buzzman, including my number one and number two picks for this year, Kentucky Derby.
Okay. We'll look forward to hearing that. And again, McLean's Countdown to Derby 151 is brought to you by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Bristnet.com, by Oak Grove Racing and Gaming, by the Fairgrounds, by Indiana Grand Racing and Casino, by the Exacta Systems, by the KTA and the KTOB, and by the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. Mr. McLean, as always, listen, you guys have a great, great weekend. Happy Easter. And may the bunny and the horse be with you.
Let's hop all the way around that track. Tomorrow we will do Owen Almighty and Citizen Bull, the winner of the 2024 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So Owen Almighty back into the fray for trainer Brian Lynch. And Citizen Bull may be the top candidate for Bob Baffert this year in the Kentucky Derby. Probably the most bet horse, I would say, of the Baffert contingency that will line up in this year's starting gate of 20.
All right, brother. Love you. Have a great weekend.
Love you, too. Appreciate your time, as always. There in the beautiful city of Lexington/Frankfort, you transport back and forth. Tell the lovely, lovely Donna Baker hello for us, the clerk of the Senate.
Only if you give my love to the lovely Leanne.
Do as likewise. Great. We'll talk tomorrow, my friend.
See you, buddy. Take care.
See you, bud.